Ladies and gentlemen, what is up? It is Tuesday, June 4th, 2013. Welcome to episode 73 of Inside the Game. And gentlemen, do you see this? I hold this up with great pride. Do you, hold on, let me make sure.
That's for your teammates, right?
Oh, Suppy, you're so smart. I can't get anything past you, can I? I am holding the copy of Heart of the Swarm that I said I would buy Kaoken, my teammate, for the Superstar Strikers Championship if we won this weekend. And here it is. Suppy, I really wanted you to sign it before I sent it off to him, but that's not going to be possible. Actually, I'm just giving him the key. But Suppy, you are great competition, but this weekend I was the champion.
Yeah.
Big win.
Yeah, it was a big win. But you know what? I even put it in the doc in a very PC-esque way, and I said that the ITG hosts take first and second in Superstar Strikers Tournament, just for you, Suppy.
It was a well-deserved win, but we're coming for you.
I can't
get you
wait.
In the next tournament.
I cannot wait. I actually cannot.
The Legacy of the Void edition. Should be great.
What are you talking about?
Legacy of the Void tournament for the Star Strikers.
They haven't even added any Heart of the Swarm stuff. It's still pretty much the same game it's been since Wings of Liberty, with some balance changes, of course.
But. Yeah, same. Yeah. I'm sure he's going to balance after that tournament, too.
He already did. Stalker
just
got nerfed.
Nerfed the...
Only run one of those tournaments per game.
What? No, they're too good. Stalker got nerfed, Suppy.
Okay, yeah. Stalker. I think Queen needs to be nerfed.
Why?
It pushes oh. every. It can push you from behind and steal your ball.
Yeah, Queen's insane.
But,
yeah. Notice how Marcus hasn't said one goddamn word.
I feel like he'd be really good at Star Strikers.
You what, Thorzane?
It's been a while since I played Star Strikers.
Yeah.
I think I like the. Oh god, I don't even remember, but I had one favorite unit. Doesn't say much, does it, when I don't even know what it is?
It was
probably the Marauder.
It was one of them.
No.
I think StarCraft players are just, like, really good at the game, like, to begin with. Like, Select and Illusion were hella good.
They were. They were hella good. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, welcome to Inside the Game. Hello, Thorzane in Control. I didn't mean to leave you out, but Suppy completely ruined my joke right off the bat, so I never really got to play it out too much, so... How are you guys? How are things?
Good.
Good. Exhausted, tired, but good.
Yeah, you came off of an actual WCS match today, Thorzane, yeah?
Won his group.
Oh, yeah. I played, like, 4 hours ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Spoiler alert. Sorry. All those guys out there upset now. We have a ton to talk about today. I'm happy to say that I believe all the audio issues have been fixed, so we'll have our open phones back this week. We apologize. It was my fault that Goatless missed a week, so I apologize for that.
That was on you.
It's all on me. It's all on me. So let's go ahead and kick things off today. We've got some breaking news, if you will. It seemed like today was just the day for Blizzard to release a lot of shit. This was an announcement day for them, so mark it on the calendars. A lot of stuff came out today. Just the quick list, and then we'll go over each one. Spawning comes to StarCraft II. The WCS portal official is here. There's something else. Well, I mean, of course, we've got like all the WCS news to do, but the groups were released as well. So basically like a ton revolving around that. So let's talk about the spawning first. And, you know, a lot of people are making a lot of noise about this. You guys know what it is, right?
Mm-hmm. Is it the exact same thing that they had with Brood War?
Well, it's funny because I was going to ask you if you would explain how it worked in Brood War, and then maybe we talk about what they're going to do.
Well, I'm not an expert, but from what I understood, the way it worked in Brood War is that you bought one copy, and that copy, as long as you're on like the same, I want to say, ISP, it would allow for that copy to be played. I want to say one other time. I'm sure the chat's going to scream a correction at me. But it might actually be more than one, but it was at least one more time. So basically, you could buy one copy, and then you and your friends could play it at your house, like with multiple computers or something like that.
Right. So that's how I understood it too. Well, the way it works in StarCraft II is, you know, similar, but because anyone can just download the starter edition of StarCraft II, the way it works is that, let's say, Thorzane has a buddy who has a starter edition. He logs into Battle.net and literally just invites him to a party, and this activates spawning. Like, you've just upgraded your friend's account. It's that easy.
All right, I have a correction. Not ISP, obviously. What I meant, guys, is like, what's the fucking terminology
subnet,
for
like within the
subnet
same,
provided to your house? I suppose.
I guess. Yeah. Internal network. LAN.
Yes, not Comcast. Thank you. I mean, I deserve it. You know what? You know what happened a while ago too is I used to just call my computer with my computer, and then fucking like I'd tweet like, "Oh, my computer's not working." Someone's like, "Ha, ha, do you mean your tower? Like, do you mean what's inside your car?" And now I just avoid the word altogether. I'm like, I can't play StarCraft because my magic box is not
it's
shiny.
Like my hard drive isn't working yeah. properly, or one of those two. It's just a hard drive, the whole thing. So, yes. But that's it. What do you guys think? You invite a buddy, boom, spawning. They suddenly have access to like multiplayer team games.
Yeah,
and the arcade.
It's great. It's great. It's cool. Especially good for China and Korea. I think one of the things that was holding back StarCraft there was that if there's a LAN center, which is where a lot of these kids go play the game for the first time, that then starts their obsession to where perhaps they bring it home or they just go there more regularly. It makes it more affordable for those places. It used to be that you had to have a copy for every single PC. Oh, whatever it is. Not even PC. Fucking magic box. Anyways. But now you can have half as many to play multiplayer, right? Obviously, I think if you can't play single player on it, right? It's not the full version. It's just that you can go to multiplayer
correct.
With it.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Which is cool. That's fine.
There's a video that outlines it all if anyone is interested in really getting into it.
It's just a good thing. It's something. It's just there's nobody out there that should be looking at this and saying it's a bad thing. And it's cool that Blizzard's doing this. Yeah, it's a bit late, but I'm glad that they're updating and that they're willing to go back on things that in the past they were like, no. We want to sell this game. It's worth buying. You need to buy it. Everyone needs to buy it. But this is another way to get people to buy it, a different way.
So
I think it's really good. I hope.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I hope like word can get out there because I mean the game's already been out for a while, so I feel like some people might like not know that this feature has actually come out. And like, I feel like if the word gets out there and we can get a lot of new people into StarCraft, this would be a really, really good thing. But overall, yeah, I think it's a really good change.
Yeah,
I don't think it'll affect them much. Like, as Sabi said, I don't think most people will know about it, and I think it would be really hard to get outsiders to know about it. Like, I guess people would be like, hey, you don't have StarCraft, but now you can still play StarCraft for free with me.
Yep.
I guess that'll help.
And I heard that Wings of Liberty, like, they're doing all kinds of these kind of sales now, but it's like 50% now through mid-June or something like that, or June.
Yeah. It's pretty cheap. Now, I mean, Thorzane, you bring up a good point, right? Because, like, I have a buddy who is, you know, he's the one that makes fun of me for being a StarCraft nerd and blah, blah, blah. And he always says he's willing to play it, but he's like, but I don't have a copy. So now I can finally be like, well, hey, download the starter edition. I can friend him, and we can finally, like, 2v2, and I can, you know, show him what a nub lit he actually, you know, is. Now, the interesting thing, though, is that you also said, Thorzane, that, you know, you didn't think it was going to help that much. And that's kind of the other question is, can this bring more people, potentially a new audience, to StarCraft II? Our very own Slasher, I say our very own, as in Live on 3, Slasher did an interview with Chris Siggety. And one of the things they actually mentioned is that, you know, this is sort of the answer to free-to-play. That, you know, that this is kind of their approach to it. And, you know, I guess I could understand it's not going to encourage anyone who doesn't have a StarCraft buddy to just download StarCraft and go nuts. It is a sort of like hold my hand and take me into the world of StarCraft type experience now, which could be limiting, but I think is probably, you know, at least a good step forward. But what do you think about the concept of we're not doing free to play? This is our answer.
I think it's the most realistic thing you'll see from Blizzard for right now. Like, free-to-play seems to be a very successful business model. It's becoming one of the expectations that the community has for games coming out. It's like, how accessible is the game? So I think it's a step in the right direction. You know, some a lot of people out there are saying they'd love to see free-to-play. I'm not one of them. I don't mind at all. I think StarCraft is so inexpensive for what it is. It's not like it's right. a monthly subscription. If it was a monthly subscription, then I would be singing a different song. But right. it's like, I don't know. I grew up buying games. And I grew up, like, I really like this game, so I want to have the box. I want to own it. And I know that's weird, and it doesn't really make sense, but I like that. And I can actually reach right over there and grab you my StarCraft vanilla CD, which is 15 goddamn years old right now. Like, I do that kind of stuff. So I'm okay with buying the game. The add-on was even more inexpensive. Like, I was expecting it to be $60. I think it's pretty cool as $40. I think that's pretty damn cool, actually.
Yeah, and it's been on sale for a while, too. But anyway, if you want to find out about spawning, go over to the Battle.net page. They've got a video on it. And literally, it's that easy. Just your buddy has the starter pack. You invite them to a party, and boom, it unlocks it. Also, Carbot did a special little decal. So if you want to get the cool little decal, I guess you've got to be a part of a spawning activity on either the receiving or the giving end, and then you'll have it. So the other big Blizzard news is the fact that a website that people have been wondering where the fuck it has been for like 10 years, no, actually just for like 2 months, it is finally here. The WCS.battle.net page.
Is it down right now?
What? No, I'm on it.
Oh,
right
wait.
Now.
Okay, now it's... Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, there we go. Oh, nice. Yeah.
I think they're well-deserved of all the about time comments that they could possibly get. But at the same time, it's good that they did it. It needed to be here. And the nice thing about WCS is that this is not a flash in the pan 3 month thing. This is a like this is our future. So
yeah,
it's coming out a week or a few days before the finals for their first season, but it's also coming out in time for us to all get used to it, and season two will be here, and then season three and the grand final, and it's good.
Are you guys checking it out? Have you looked at it at all?
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen it. I really like the like point standings and stuff. Like makes everything pretty clear.
Where do you find it?
WCS.battle.net. So, I mean, just kind of like looking around and navigating a little bit. Going back to the front page, it is nice that on the very front page, I see the top eight from every single region. Just like, boom, right there, quick glance, super nice. You can click on their names. You can see the scores, a little match result as well. Global standings is nice. When you actually go in, and they don't have it on the front page, but if you go to schedule, then it also shows recent scores. And right off of the bat, I guarantee you that people, and I haven't read the threads on Reddit, but I guarantee you that people are probably already bitching about, like, where's my hide spoiler capabilities? But anyway, each person, for example, I'm going to click on the handsome Thorzane. There he is, rank 53, 325 points. You know, race, country, flag, all of your recent results. Yeah, like, and bio used with permission from Liquipedia, so that's pretty nice.
That's all good. I'm glad to see that. What I would like to do, come on, Blizzard can't do something without us complaining or urging for better. What I would say is that what I hope is that this becomes that central place where it really unifies all the WCSs. Like, I'd like to see those storylines go right to here. Like, such and such qualified from here. Now they're in this group. They're having a repeat battle with this player where they played them last time. I'd like to see that IGN turned Blizzard crew really show their stuff on this website, interviews, hype videos. Like, we're already seeing some pretty cool stuff. Like, I like that Korea shit talking video where they were like, we're the best, and they're not even going to come close. And you're like, that's good stuff. I like that. It was getting buzzed around, and people were getting a little bit excited about it. And this is going to be a cool, I'd like that if this is the one stop place to go to see all that WCS, like all WCS, I want to go here and get that.
Yeah, I hope this is where, like, you know, like, you make a conscious choice to go to this website to get your information. Because right now, I've just been using, like, Wikipedia and stuff, but hopefully this will become, like, the place where I actually would choose to go here, because it's more detailed, has more information, it's all centralized. And so I think it's really good.
Just like, it's easy to access. It doesn't have, like, a weird URL where you have to, like, go, like, write for 10 minutes and then find it. It's pretty. It looks nice. Like, good layout. And it seems very updated. Like, it already updated every match from today. And so I hope they will keep it, like, as soon as the games happen, they will update it and not just let it slip away.
I'm just kind of taking a look at the effects that... because we've compared it a lot, right? The LCS, right? It's LCS with the Blizzard WCS. The effect that it had on the, you know, on the traffic when it went up. And while it doesn't look like necessarily a massive amount of traffic, it does look like, you know, they've managed to at least make it a reasonably sized web page where, you know, it matters if content goes up there or not. So, I mean, you hit a good point in that if people don't visit it, it's great. But I think people have been asking. The Liquipedia portal has been great. But having the Blizzard themed layout, and like you said, Jeff, the extension, the team doing above and beyond to bring everything together, I think is really important.
Absolutely, step in the right direction.
Totally. So you could check that out, wcs.battle.net. I also agree. Good URL, all that good stuff. So let's do
Xenosire.
What? Yeah?
Xenosire.
What?
The day of announcements.
I'm just okay, yeah. Sure, we could do that. So you guys have an announcement. I haven't even read this yet. Can you tell me about this, someone?
Yes. So we signed Xenosider. He's actually been on the team for a little while, but that's been under wraps just because, you know, red tape and all that jazz stuff just moving that way. But really excited about it. And it's actually kind of interesting because Xenosider's been in talks with EG for a while, and they were actually started by Alex Garfield himself, which is a little bit different from the process we typically do. Typically, it's like, Alex has been involved in talks with some of the players, so it's not like this is the first time. But usually it's Cody or some of the other guys on the StarCraft side of things, because Alex is obviously the global EG guy. But with Xenosider, he took interest because he's a young gentleman who conducts himself very well, has a lot of dedication, and shows talent. When I say young, I mean 15 years young. He's easily the youngest guy on EG. And we, you know, in the past, we've been criticized for being a team that just goes out and signs other teams' best players. And, you know, we get a lot of crap with that. Thorzane might know a thing or two about that. But then, actually, it's kind of funny on the show, because then on the other side of the spectrum, we got a lot of love and a lot of attention for what we did with, like, Suppy. Suppy was a guy who had not won tournaments and had not blazed up the scene, but he was definitely an up-and-coming great player. And EG is in a position where they can do both. I think it's kind of cool. They can have those superstars like a Thorzane and Stefano, and that can be our... We can have them call us home as well, but then we can also go... And with our success and with our accomplishments, foster young talent and allow them to potentially really grow. And I think to be able to do both is a really cool thing that puts EG in a cool spot. And we're really excited about Xenosider and hope he's definitely like in the protege program. Like the Muslim's going to take him under his skinny British wing, and Suppy's going to show him the ropes of being the young blood on the squad.
How old is he now then?
15.
Okay, so he... Okay. And where does he live?
I don't know, actually.
I think he lives in, like, Oregon or Washington, one of those.
But U.S. Yeah,
is it? Yeah, you might be right.
No, he lives in Florida.
Oh, Florida,
You're
okay.
You're completely wrong. You were completely wrong.
Yeah, Florida. Oh, shit.
Well, I think it's really nice that EG's, like, moving in this direction, though, to, like, pick up and foster, like, new talent. Yeah. And obviously that's, like, partly because, like, I was one of the... Like, I was, like, the first test guinea pig or whatever for that. But I also think it's nice because...
It turned out good.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also think it's really nice because I feel like, at least for North Americans, it kind of gives hope that, like... You know, like, you don't have to be, like, crazy, like, insane, genius, superstar, like, weirdo, whatever. Like, it's possible, like, just... hard work, continuing to play and being consistent, that you can, like, have success and get picked up by a team like EG, where it's no longer like only the best of the best get signed. Like, you can just keep improving and get signed. So I think that's really nice. It provides a little bit more hope for the North American players and more incentive to keep playing.
Yeah. I think it's kind of cool, actually. I did a session with a student recently, and one of the talks we had was he's really passionate, inspired, wants to go pro. And one of the things we talked about is how actually right now it's still like next to impossible to go pro. Like, don't get me wrong. But if there was ever a time where teams were taking interest in growing unknowns and getting talent to be fostered, sure. It's now. Like, there's the Complexity Academy. There's the Quantic Academy. Fanatic Academy. Yeah. The Clarity Gaming Academy. There's community teams. Like, it's actually, I've never seen this, but there's like and CSL, actually, if you're a college student. There's actually like a farm system in StarCraft for the first time, I think, ever across the board. And now EG has shown we don't have an academy, but we have interest in grabbing players, like Suppy said, that are not crazy, gigantic tournament winner names. They are up-and-coming young guys that have potential. And that's pretty cool. That's one of the things we talk about. That's the difference between the West and Korea. Because in Korea, they've had that forever. They know. If you have fast APM and dedication and you're willing to be a robot for a while, you've got a place to go. In the West, you don't. You have to be a personality or a winner or both.
Well, I don't think that... Yeah, I agree with that. But I also think, you know, it's not like... It's not saying that, you know, you should just completely drop everything and try and go pro, you know, because I still don't think most pro gamers, or at least most high-level, like, StarCraft players on North America or whatever, don't, like, really make very much at all, like... People on the other teams, Clarity, Root, whatever, they're all, like, pretty good teams, but even then, they, like, don't make a huge amount to, like, make a huge living off of it. Right.
Oh, believe me, in my talks with this guy, it was only after I gave him a 10-minute speech about how he probably shouldn't do this, because even if he became, like, top 10 GM in the United States, he'd be looking at, like, a $200 salary a month on a lot of these teams, you know? Like, it's not, you should not do... And that's why I call it a young man's game. Because this guy's 23 years old, so we were having this big talk, and one of the things I was telling him is that if you're a 15-year-old or 17-year-old living at home, your concerns for money are a lot less.
Yeah,
like, obviously, everyone has need for money, but if you're like a 25-year-old guy with rent, and you're like, oh, okay, I'll give up the next 2 years of my life, and I'll just make, you know, $200 a month, maybe? Holy crap. It's not sustainable.
Which, of course, then starts, like, the never-ending cycle of just, you know, like, no parent in their right mind is likely going to let their son and or daughter just, like, give up everything to focus on doing that. You know, like, it's such a small percentage in the first place. So it's definitely hard knocks life out there for sure. Now, I wanted to do a quick transition because... Your player Zetacider, he's going to get put to the test right out of the gate, right? It's going to be a DreamHack?
Yeah, it's going to DreamHack.
So that means everyone, all you guys will be a DreamHack, right?
So is Suppy. Yeah, all of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is really interesting because, like, right after I got signed to EG, I went to Assembly. So... It's kind of like the same for him.
We send our young bloods off to the Viking lands to test them.
Yeah. How's that work?
Welcome to EG. Now go to the Nordic people.
Well, I'll tell you what. Since we are not going to have shows next week because of E3, and I assume you guys will also be traveling.
Shit.
Yeah, that's right. E3's next week, buddy. Yeah. So maybe we could just say a few words about DreamHack.
Yeah.
I mean, huge, huge, huge competitor list. Of course, a lot of local European talent as well, but some fantastic names on there. But all you guys are going, in a different capacity, but who wants to say a couple words about DreamHack?
Well, DreamHack,
what's
as
wrong?
A Swede, I just...
Okay. One at a time, boys. One at a time, please.
Yeah, I just... I've been a bit sad that DreamHack hasn't been able to, like, it has produced great tournaments, but not with the absolute best players. But now with Stockholm having a ton of Koreans and, like, really, really good Koreans, and this tournament also having a lot of the best Koreans, at least the best non-KESPA Koreans, I'm happy to, like, have all these players come play in my country, I guess, and, like, just makes it better for the tournament itself. Better games. as long as it's not only Koreans. I like the kind of the ratio. It's not like there's going to be like top 32 is Koreans. It might be like top 8. We have like 4 Koreans, 4 foreigners, and that's pretty good. But that might be just wishful thinking, but what do I know?
Yeah, I agree. I think the thing that I like about DreamHack, and even with the increased Koreans, is that I think these days you can count on a European tournament to have those Koreans get knocked out by non-Koreans. So I agree with you. As long as it's not like 45 Koreans come, which I don't think we ever have to worry about, I would say 15 is a pretty cool, healthy mix. Because it's like a player pool of, what, 96, and 15 of them are Korean?
It's 128 even, so...
Oh, 128? That's right.
Before we would have, like, maybe 6-7 Koreans, it would be, like, the MVP guys and, like, Bolt.
And they would all end up at the end of the tournament. So that's the other kind of cool part about this, is that there's a pretty good range of Koreans. We were talking about before the show. There's not, like, it's not Flash and Innovation coming over where it's like, okay, like... Right. Who else is going to make out that top four? It's more like, I mean, like I think Squirtle's up there in that kind of a name. Gumiho is obviously an amazing, amazing Terran. But I think it's a pretty cool mix of Koreans. I think they're all beatable Koreans, I think is what I want to say.
When do groups usually come out? Because I know it's like the hyper-aggressive three-group stages. And then the
pretty late.
And then the top three... So closer, like, even at the event? Is it after, like, sign-ups and whatnot?
No, it's, like, a day or two before, usually. Okay. It's 4 or 5 days, I think, usually.
Okay.
So it's good for me as a European, because I don't have to travel while all the other players will know their group, but they can't practice. I'll be like, oh, I have Suppy in my group. I'll prepare.
But your first group, a lot of times, has, like, kind of, like,
First group, if you lose the first group, you're usually just a horrible player.
Harsh, man. That was harsh.
It's mostly true. It's usually like one really good player and then three pretty bad ones. And then the good groups are two good players and two pretty bad ones. And then there's that one group every fucking time that has three good players. And they get one of them gets knocked out in the first group. And you're like, oh, geez.
So like... Yeah. Wait, do some people start in group stage 2? Or everybody starts in group stage 1?
I have no idea. They did it like that in... now in open summer. Stockholm. DreamHack Stockholm. But I think that was because they had 96 players. It's easier to do it like that. They had 64 play groups and 32 higher seed be seeded to the next group stage.
Interesting.
Look at the race distribution. 60 Zergs.
60?
Like yeah.
Where do you see that? I was looking... Are you looking
at... I'm looking at the Wikipedia.
The Wikipedia?
60 Zergs. 38 Protoss, 29 Terran.
Oh, jeez. Hmm. Oh, my God.
Thank God.
It's like...
What the... Oh, my... What the...
You guys so happy done goofed.
God.
They're holding this tournament over the top of a Zerg beehive, man. Like...
What percentage of those 60 Zerg players do you think just fucking hates ZvZ too?
Which it's just 99. Like
makes
99%.
It perpetually worse. You know, like I guarantee you, every Zerg player is like, "God, 60 Zerg, gee, cut me some slack here." 29 Terrans.
Yeah,
they're like the last race.
In Zerg's defense, though, as much as they hate ZvZ, I'm pretty sure they all hate ZvT and ZvP equally.
No way, man.
That's kind of true.
Yeah, they just hate.
No way.
Every time. Zergs are like, I bet you're going to 2-base all in. Or against the Terran, they're like, fucking Widow Mines and Hellbats. And then ZvZ, they're like, how am I supposed to not go Muta? How am I not supposed to go Muta?
Have you been watching a certain person's stream lately?
Yeah, and he's like the spokesperson for Zerg players, man.
Yeah.
By the way, a DreamHack admin just messaged me on Skype saying that everybody starts in group stage 1.
Okay.
So officially, Thorzane said it. He was quoted here saying, if you don't make it out of group stage 1, you suck.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you suck.
Hey, so I want to know, are they going to have coin flip toss losses again?
DreamHack.
They keep that?
Obviously, it's like the tradition.
You should just go into this tournament dead set on not having three ties in one time.
Yeah, they had to do like three tiebreakers.
If you have to fake an injury, Suppy, do it to avoid the tie.
Sabotage.
What am I fucking watching?
Do it. All right. That is taking place June 15th to the 17th. So it is not this upcoming weekend, but next weekend. So it's going to be jam-packed June with, of course, the WCS Season 1 Finals this weekend. Then, of course, DreamHack. Then MLG. Nonstop, pretty much. But let's rewind and talk about the WCS Season 1 Finals. And maybe some of the results that got us there. I don't know how exactly we do this, but let's just... I mean, fuck, like, now that the Season 1 Finals groups are drawn, it just seemed like that's the news that we should go to. But obviously, leading up to that, WCS US was this weekend, so we should chat about that. So, should we just chat about that first?
Sure.
All right. Sure. WCS US was this weekend, and top four was indeed Korean.
Top eight. Oh yeah,
top five.
They're all
top five.
WCS NA, all Koreans, top eight.
No, not
no, Snoop, no, no. Moonbait and Suit.
Ah, crap.
Jeff.
Ah,
man, making me.
I forgot about them.
God, are you serious?
Well, in my defense, at the NA finals, it would be easy to forget about Moonglade, but Snoot did do quite well.
He did. Played on both days. So there's two storylines coming out of this, right? Unfortunately, one of them is not that Hero won and is representing that NA region, but more the idea that this is what everyone expected to happen, which shouldn't have taken too many people by surprise, and that ultimately in a ranking sort of chat survey done on Twitch TV in no unofficial or official capacity, people are saying the general consensus is that WCS NA was the most lackluster of them all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that should be like a no-brainer. There should be nobody out there that's like, no, it was the best for me. That shitty skyscrape that they kept showing and the lights.
So my big question for you guys, if you watched it, was did you think that detracted away from the games and or the competition of the Final Eight?
Yes. I think one of the hardest things that they're ever going to get past, and I think it was Thorzane that brought this up last week, but the no live audience, that's going to be one of the hardest obstacles for them. And I feel like if they're going to be the WCS contract holders, they should put in a lot more effort than just running this out of their office studio. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, it's not bad. The two player stations and the commentating desk, it's not bad. But it definitely won't bedazzle anybody. It's not impressive. It's not impressive at all. And it's not just the no live audience. It's that they didn't even bring in a host. They had two commentating pairs for that final day, which is fine. You don't need six or eight commentators for it, I don't think at all. But maybe some flavor. Maybe, they had one of their own commentators then go do the interviews. Like, just some kind of diversity in some way, shape, or form. Like, some step up. But they didn't do that at all.
You guys have all been to this office, right? You haven't? Okay.
Nope.
I'll just, like, throw this out to Thorzane or Suppy. Do you think it would hurt it if they just were, like, 20 people were allowed in?
No, I think it would be hard to get them in. Like, it's... like, you have to get all the people through the guy at the bottom, like, the security guy. All
right.
And it's, like, the top floor, the elevators. Like, it's just, like, the way the office is located seems a bit awkward to have a live audience. Sure. Like, the ESL office is very...
If all that wasn't a problem, do you think that would add, like, people celebrating, clapping, going, yeah, like, yelling someone's name? Even if it was 20 people, do you think that would add to the atmosphere?
Absolutely.
Probably. Like, it wouldn't be a bad thing. It could only be good.
I definitely think there's room, too. Like, it is a little bit crowded, but in the room where the two stations are, they put, like, their production guy and, like, two big cameras and stuff. If they can just find a different place for those, they could definitely fit those, like, little bleacher things that ESL did and have enough people. And I don't think it'd be a problem. At least, and also the security, like, I don't know, there was a guy sitting at the front, but I just usually just, like, waltz past. He didn't, like, do anything, so...
wasn't much security.
All right. Do anyone have any comments about the games themselves?
First of all, that I think it was on Whirlwind game between. Was that Snoot and Alicia? Game number 3 on Whirlwind, I want to say.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a sick game.
Sick, awesome game. And I really enjoyed that game. So kudos to both those guys. Just a lot of fun strategies on the fly. Handling those Void Rays like that from Snoot. Really cool play. The games themselves weren't really that bad. I found them quite enjoyable. Not like a really super memorable tournament. I think everyone expected Hero to win. I think he was the favorite. I think he was legitimately the favorite. We're obviously really proud of Revival because that's a big, big finish for him. He's still not he's not a big international winner just yet, but this was really close and he played really well. It was a good series. In fact, he won the first game against Hero kind of convincingly, and I was like, is this some bitch gonna do it? Is he gonna turn around and win this tournament? And then of course he didn't, but still really excited for him. So I don't really have too much to say more on the games other than that Snoot Alicia game was awesome.
The games themselves, I liked watching a live play. I don't know why, but I just like, it's not that he plays weird or anything, I just like his play style. So for me it was good to see a live and offline tournament doing reasonably well.
How was I skipped his games versus Revival, but
I only saw the end of the Star Station game, I think. I saw the end of two games, not like, I didn't see any important stuff. Just, it seemed like Ling Yuda against Widowmine standard.
It very much looked like he prepared a lot for TVP, because I did not expect a 3-0 of him over Crank. But each time, he manhandled Crank pretty good. And then when he came up to Revival, it was the opposite. Revival diced him up pretty good.
Hmm. Apparently, Revival was very aggressive in the early stages of every game, is what I heard. So I'm not sure if they were like legit macro games from the start. It was like Revival kill 30 SCVs and then go macro game. I know Star Station, he killed like 20 SCVs with a Ling run by, and then went macro game.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
The thing I take away from NA was that I kept, and I know a lot of people are doing this, I kept looking at the viewership and it peaked at like 55 or something like that, right? Whereas the European one legitimately had over 100,000.
Plus all the side community, like foreign language streams.
And you can make whatever excuse you want, but as far as I'm concerned, if I'm Blizzard, I look at those numbers and I go, what? What happened here? Why? Like MVP Stefano? Mm-hmm. Very exciting. But there's no reason why you can't take some of those series at WCS NA and make them just as exciting, but you have to put effort into it. You have to spend money to make money, and you got to impress, and they didn't do that. And I'd be very curious to hear any of the MLG guys defend that. I don't know that they would. If they were on any show, be like, no, that was our best performance we could do. That was the best MLG show you'll ever see.
I think the only legit excuse they could have is that I think it's harder for American tournaments time-wise, because when they have a tournament, Europeans will be sleeping. When Europeans have a tournament, the Americans will be like, it will daytime for Americans. So there's going to be more Americans watching European tournaments than the other way around, I think.
Well, yes and no. There's two things. On the East Coast, it's only a 6-hour difference to Central Europe. So if you start in the morning, that's actually not bad time for Europe at all, especially considering their big shows on Sunday. And then the other part, too, is actually across the board, whenever a tournament looks at who watches the most tournaments, it's always Americans. Americans watch more tournaments than any other audience in the world. So it, like, even down to European, that was mostly Americans, that 100,000. The biggest percentage was Americans. And so what's the difference that trims literally 50% of people who go, nah, I'm not going to watch that? And I would tell you it's hype, it's host, it is time to a certain extent, and I do think that Europe had better diversity. It was like Stefano MVP is infinitely more exciting than two Koreans. That's just the way it's always been, unless the two Koreans are like Flash and Jaedong or some shit.
I was a bit sad at just realizing like all of these Koreans in the NA finals were like, I guess hero, like they have been coalesced material, but now they're like not even coalesced in Korea. They come to the foreign tournaments and just rape everybody, while they themselves would probably get raped in their own codes, and we can't even touch those Koreans. I mean, no offense, Hero is like a fantastic player, but like, you get what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, maybe that's a perfect segue, Thorzane, over to talking about the finals that's going to take place this weekend, right? Because there's no better testing grounds than yeah. right there, and the groups were just announced. We already knew the players, so you know, why don't we take a look at it? And while we do this, when we get to the two players, we'll talk about the Korean finals, which were this weekend as well. But so the here it is, the 2013 WCS Season 1 groups for the Season 1 Grand Finals. Four groups. Group A, Solky Alive, TLO Stefano. B, MVP Ryung, Kongho, Alicia. Group C, Hero, 4GG, SOS Symbol. And Group D, Innovation, Revival, Damaga, and Roro. I mean, beast groups all around. There's definitely there's definitely no easy group here.
No, that was never going to be the case. What Thorzane just said is like absolutely something that's kind of ringing around, and I don't know. I get this gut feeling that the difference isn't as big as people think it is. Like, I feel like a 4GG could beat a lot of those Kespa top Terrans in a TVT, because 4GG is such a monster in TVT. Of course, his group doesn't have any of the Terrans. And then I think like a Revival in ZBZ could beat a Roro. And a lot of people on paper would look at that and be like, you're out of your mind. Roro's the guy that like 6-0'd the other three top Zergs in ZBZ. And while that's true, I'm more speaking to is I think Revival's level in ZBZ is up there. I do think there's a few players that outdistance everybody, and they all came from the Korean thing. That's Innovation and Solky, obviously. They are, in my opinion, two of the absolute best. Absolute best. SOS would be another one that I'd make an argument for. But I would not be surprised to see some of these Koreans that qualified outside of Korea to do quite well. Ryung and his group could do okay. He's got another Terran and MVP. Alicia showed that he's beatable. Kangho is kind of a question. And then in that group D, Innovation's going to take that. It's a question of who's going to take second.
By the way,
yo.
So Solky won. What do you have to say about that?
Me?
Everybody.
Yeah.
I was the only one who was like, it's
I was
not
wondering if
Thor's sure that Innovation is going to win, guys. You have to wait and see.
Did you watch the games?
No.
Well, they were bad. Go.
Yeah, but I don't care if they were bad. Solky won.
Innovation goes up 3-0, like, in absolute convincing fashion. The games were not that close at all. Starting off with a Turax, a proxy Turax that just crumbled his opponent. Like, it wasn't even close.
He even scouted it, too, right?
Like, yeah, he late scouted it. Late scouted. He didn't see it right off the bat. The other time he got Turax, he scouted it right off the bat.
Yeah.
And then we were subjected to three games of Roach Baneling. Like, and that is Innovation's Achilles heel. We went into it with me saying that. I'm telling you, that's something that's good against him. And Solky's like, all right, I guess I'll start winning games now. And then we get a real game, game 7, super hyped, super awesome, really exciting. It's a normal game. It's macro. They're going back and forth. It's kind of close. And then Innovation does this thing that Terran players do. And that's where he goes, you know, this game, it's pretty fucking even. How about I load up my entire army into three medevacs and just fly them into this base, because I'm sick and tired of this game being even. I want to win it now. So he does this down the middle of the map with the Zerg staring at him, and I've never seen a more weird interaction in the highest of levels of games, because the Mutalists weren't even like, they weren't like back and forth in anticipation, like, fuck yeah, we're going to get some medevacs. They were just kind of like, fluttering in a cloud, like, the boss said to wait here. I don't know why. And then the medevacs flew right into the cloud of Mutalisk. And it's my favorite, like, lore thing, because you can imagine the pilot's like, everyone, buckle, or it's a chick, but I can't do that voice. She's like, everyone, buckle up. We're flying right into that cloud of Mutalisk, into the heart of hell. And they just flew into it and died. And then instantly, 35 supply drop, And the Zerg's like, well, I guess I take all my Lings and Banelings and then kill your army that was killing rocks. That's the second part that people forget.
Yeah.
Innovation was busy with his fucking army, the rest of his army, shooting rocks, while the other part of the army was broadcasting in, we're going down! And they're like, shit, stuff's not going good over there. Guys, help me out with these rocks. And then he just got swept in and destroyed. It was not even close.
Like, I know you had some losses, but how many hit points are left on the rocks?
The final Marine, yeah, he's like, it shows him like on the ground bloody, and he's like with his pistol shooting the fucking rock.
Sir,
it's like Saving Private Ryan where it blows up, and he's like, guys, the rocks are down. And then that was the end of the game.
Yeah. And then I don't know if that was like a startling moment or what, because you know what? I totally expect they're like, okay, Sulky got a game. Here comes some more cheese. Like an early aggression can win this, and it just never happened. And I got to say, watching the end, right, the ceremony, everything, it was pretty evident that Innovation was devastated. But he had a pro league match later on that day,
yeah.
And he was just like, it was the dead to the world, man. Yeah. I think he had realized that he made a very expensive mistake. So
he did. And it was kind of cool, too, because I didn't actually know this, but I love that there's still Brood War historians circling around our community, because basically one of the cooler videos to come out after this was, it was called something like The Struggles of Sulky, because he was actually a big Brood War player, and he was always a great player, but he never enjoyed super success. And you could, if you watch that video and see his history, and then you watch his acceptance of the trophy, he was crying, and not like, not to offend your wife, but like, not Marine King crying, where it was just, you want to slap him a little bit and tell him to man up. This was like a guy holding it back, but he was like, he was breaking down because he finally did it. You could feel the weight lifting off of him, and it was kind of cool to watch. It was a lot more emotion than you usually get at the end of a Korean tournament, which is usually just the two of them standing there, and they're like, thank you.
Yeah.
I will try better next time.
Where are you going to send your money? And they're like, oh, my parents get it. Yeah. I don't get a dime.
Oh, big right. Oh, great. All right. Those matches, you should check them out before this weekend. Let's just do a really quick survey. Who do we think are making it out of these groups?
Ooh. I mean, you guys go first so I can make a better one.
Sulky, Stefano, first group.
Mm-hmm.
Are the groups? Can someone pull it up?
I'll link it.
Oh, my God. Nubs.
Fuck, you beat me.
Nubs. I am a noob. Thank you. All right, so you said Sulky and Stefano. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wait a MVP Ryung.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Now they already know the order of the map, so that actually could be important as well.
Oh, do
I'm
we?
I'm never gonna.
Yeah, it shows. So like Group A, right, Sulky versus Alive, and TLO versus Stefano.
That's actually a big deal.
Oh. Yeah, that is.
All right, now keep going, Suppy.
I'm going to say Hero. I feel like I'm taking like the generic picks, but like Hero SOS and...
That's super boring so far. Keep going, Group D.
I'm going to say Innovation Revival.
Nice.
Revival to beat all the ZDDs.
Marcus.
For me, Sulky and Stefano, probably. Group B, I'm a huge fan of Kang Ho, so I'm going to be rooting for him.
He's gonna pick every Zerg to win.
Yeah, you love Zergs. What's up with this?
And then Ryung and Kango, I think, just because of Ryung's TVT. And I think Group B and C are the most hardest one to pick. Group C, I think SOS and I'm gonna go with Symbol. Or Hero, or 4GG. Okay, it's hard.
C is hard.
Okay, Hero and Symbol.
Okay.
Oh, and there's one other group. And the Group D.
Innovation.
Obviously, Innovation 04, 03.
Oh, right. Yeah.
No, but Invasion Roro, definitely the easiest group to pick.
Yo, I'm going to tell you who's going to win, and I'm going to tell you how they're going to win.
Okay. But
Solki is going to unfortunately beat Alive. It's a great series. Stefano will beat TLO. Solki will then beat Stefano. And then Stefano will beat Alive after Alive beats TLO. That being said, that's my prediction, okay? That's who's going to win. But TLO will win. TLO is going to win that group. But I have to hate against him in order for him to win, so that's what's going on.
Okay.
Group B.
Gotcha.
MVP Ryung. Ryung takes that. Kang Ho, Alicia. Alicia takes that with Void Race. And then in Ryung versus Alicia, Alicia beats Ryung. And then MVP beats Kang Ho. And then MVP beats Alicia. Or wait, Ryung. Yes. So yeah, that's right. MVP comes back the second time to beat Ryung because he's more clutch and because he just fucking wins when he has to. Group C, Hero shits on 4GG, SOS, and Symbol. That's a toss-up. If SOS beats Symbol, then Hero beats SOS and makes it out. If SOS loses to Symbol, then Symbol beats Hero, and then Hero beats whoever comes up from either 4GG or SOS. So my prediction is Hero and Symbol, but it could be Hero and SOS or something like that. And then Group D, Innovation. I'm not even going to go through that math. It doesn't matter. Really tough first match for Revival. But then Revival beats the other Zergs and gets out of there. Boom.
How can you... I mean, in my opinion, Roro is like one of those... He's like up there, like top... He won the previous GSL. He was top four this one. He's like one of the absolute like Solki Innovation level, in my opinion. It's like the same kind of level. Good. And but Revival isn't there.
Roro has problems... Yeah, Roro has problems against EG Zergs.
That's against right. EG Zergs? Who?
He Idra lost to
Odom.
Idra 2-Odom.
Boom! Thorzane!
When was that? Was it online?
BWC.
Yes. In China.
Really?
Quit hating, Marcus. EG Zergs know what to do, man.
Yeah.
Sup, you almost beat Parting there. Boom!
Although... In his last few ZVZs, he is 6-1.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Well, actually, if I recall, I think Revival has a really pretty decent...
I'm guessing they've played different caliber of players in those records, but
those players...
Revival did lose two series, so his record's not going to be as good.
Like Zero, 10, Hyba, 6. Hydra, Album, Hitman, Crazy. There's quite a few Pro League names in there, so I don't know.
I believe. I've got faith. It's definitely a wild card pick. Like on paper, it should be Innovation Aurora, right?
I'm looking at just Hots, too. 15-7 for Revival. Oops. With... Well, a lot more. Yeah, a lot more. Snoot. Win over Suppy. Win over Scarlet. Loss from Suppy. Win from Ghostu over Ghost Caesar. Win over Lost. Idra. Another loss to Ghost Caesar, so. I don't know.
You know, I think Group D actually might be a little bit more interesting in terms of how Innovation's going to do than we might think, because. Innovation's only got to prepare for one matchup, but I'm wondering how he's going to be, like, he's going to change his game because of how the Korean finals went. Like, is he going to finally build a tank? That's the question. And then the other Zergs are going to be like, hey, I just saw those, they're going to be studying the Solki games and be like, this Roach Bane thing seems pretty good against Innovation. Maybe there's some other weaknesses because...
It's possible. I mean,
yeah, it's possible.
It is. It could certainly happen.
Dare to dream. So, someone record our predictions... Because I'm actually going to be on a show with Artosis later, and my only job is to make fun of Artosis for literally getting every single prediction wrong.
Did he call Innovation?
Oh, he called Innovation, and then WCS NA, he got all four of the first round predictions wrong. Like, he's actually like a roving, traveling gypsy witch doctor, like in esports. He's like, I think you're going to win Hocus Pocus! And then they're like, ow! Far! I can't focus. What's going on?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. I can't wait. All right. It's this weekend. OGN is doing the production of it, which means that there's like a second production being done on GOM TV. So whether you like it here or you like it there, tomato, tomata, anything you can do, I can do better, whatever. It should be available all throughout this weekend. 2 days, if I'm not mistaken.
When does this start?
Well, I should go over to my trusty Team Liquid stream calendar and take a look at that. Let's do that right now.
Way too far in the future, though.
Let's do that right now. That's not true.
What are we looking at?
We're looking at When does the finals begin? How come I don't see
upcoming
it on
events.
Here?
Yeah, see? Can't see that far in the future.
Oh, wait. Right. You know what? Maybe I should go to WCS.battle.net.
Ah, their website.
Yes. Don't you think that it should have it under the schedule? All right. June 7th. Okay. June 6th. Oh, wow. Okay. So Thursday. It starts Thursday at 8 p.m. But what is this time, actually?
This Thursday?
This Thursday.
What?
I know, man.
Oh, it displays local time. All right. Kick ass. So at 8 p.m. on Thursday in 2 days.
For you.
For me.
You're East Coast, though, right?
No, I'm Central Time.
So 6 p.m. for us West Coasters.
Just go to the site. It'll show. It will be the round of 16. And then the following evening, also at 8 p.m. or whatever, local time. Then the round of 8. And then Saturday. Oh, my God. It's 4 days. Holy shit. I actually did not know that. I thought it was only 3. So there you go. And then the final will be at midnight on Sunday. Wow. Oh. It is only 3 days. I'm sorry.
Had my heart going pitter-patter for a minute there.
Shut up. It goes from Saturday, June 8th from 8 p.m. to the finals, which is on Sunday, June 9th at midnight. So, GG. All right. That's this weekend. Yes. You're going to want to check that out. What else do we have to chat about before we open up these phone lines?
Home Story Cup, Pro League.
Home Story Cup, the qualifiers have begun.
Yeah, I think 2 Seed and Maru qualified, I believe.
Yep, from Korea.
Did you guys watch any of them? I don't know if they did. They do English qualifiers because.
No, it was all in German. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it, and then.
I watched it. I'm a little bit sad that like the Home Story Cup staples like MC MKP won't be there because I love their commentary. But Seed and Maru is going to be interesting seeing them in a Home Story Cup environment.
Well, they might still be there. This is just the, like, this is not everybody. There's also invites.
Oh, okay.
Right, right.
This is just one of the ways that you can qualify. And I don't quote me on this, but in the past, if you qualified for it, the Home Story Cup people like helped pay for part or all of your trip.
Yeah, if you get first place, they pay for everything.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. I'm just excited that he's doing it, because he's actually been quite vocal about how Home Story Cup is always like a really fun, awesome community success, but it's very hard to monetize because in order to make it that big of a success, you got to spend quite a bit of money, and it's quite the big endeavor. So I hope people rally out and support it, and they buy that weekend subscription, and they purchase some shirts and whatever, and because I feel like Home Story Cup's one of those pretty cool community things. It's like, we need one Home Story Cup. I don't want 10. I just want this one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there was this French tournament trying to imitate it. It was displayed this weekend. I think it had good players like Hian, Squirtle, were in France this weekend.
Oh, the Millennium House thing.
Yeah.
Wait, it was this past weekend?
Previous couple of days.
Oh,
I don't know who won, but it had like a lot of good Korean names like Squirtle and Hyun, and that's only like they're all like that level. But yeah, I didn't watch it, but no hype whatsoever, and it felt like it was trying to be like a Home Story Cup thing because it's in Millennium's team house. It's like a house kind of tournament.
I didn't watch it, so
I have no idea if it's actually the case, but it just gave me the vibes of like trying to imitate Take's tournament.
I did not even know that it was going on. I feel terrible.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Hey, when is the when's the raid call StarCraft League starting?
Oh, suppy.
Are we not supposed to? We don't know.
What are you talking about, Suppy?
Oh,
wait, what?
No.
What? Conan?
Delete.
What?
Delete. Delete.
What?
Alt F10 Q.
Well, I mean, it's just...
Marcus. No.
Yeah, as
just
it?
Let Suppy. This is the end of Titanic right now. There's not enough room on the board.
I'm playing the fucking
I was
violin.
Excited about you going to DreamHack, but I guess that won't be happening anymore.
Wait, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
SE2L was announced, but we don't have details or anything like that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think you made it seem like Suppy was like, had just...
Oh, we just gave him a hard time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
We just crushed that kid.
All right. we will open up the phones here in just a second. There's also some Pro League news because we are getting further along.
Yeah.
I know that here it says the EGTL Coach Park is shooting for 6. Still theoretically possible for EGTL to make playoffs, but very unlikely. Currently tied for 7 with Team 8. And Styx and SKT T1 are trying to hold on to 3rd and 4th. I think I've got...
Did you say Styx?
STX, sorry. I come from Quake 3. And we had a team. They were called the Stickmen. And their clan tag was STX. So still this day, I just see it. And the first thing that comes to mind is Styx. Cause they're
wait,
the
STX is tied for 3rd?
Innovation, man. They're an all-kill
team. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I meant to say first.
They're tied for first? Because when I was in Korea, we had already played more than 50% of the games, and they were struggling. I think they were like tied 8th with us and Samsung Khan back then. So I didn't check the results a lot, so I'm really surprised them being tied first.
Here, let me just bring them
up. I guess
up,
they haven't been...
I just
bring
said
out a lot of
all
kills.
Okay, here are the overall standings. I said it all wrong. It's Woongjin Stars, KT Rollster, STX Seoul, SK Telecom T1, and they're in the top 4 spots.
Still, good job by STX to recover from being last.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then
means
Samsung.
That you can't count any team out until the very last.
Yeah, you're right. The first two rounds really well they did really bad.
Well said.
They got 7th in the first 2 rounds.
Yeah.
It's tough, though. It's just like, there was like, Coach Park came out and we like instantly beat Woongjin Stars, and I was like super hyped. And then like the next 2 Clan Wars, we get like all killed, and I was like, oh. Like, there's just always, every time I get super excited, there's always been that like next Clan War where someone's just like, go to sleep. Like, they just smother you with a pillow. So, I there's still hope in my heart, and I'm still watching every single match. But it's just tough because some nights they're just so flat, it feels like. They come out and boom, 4 in a row, all kill, just down in a row, you know? And then there's nights like this last time where they beat fucking SKT1, like, with a skeleton crew, too. How funny is that?
They
like,
only had 4 people, yeah.
Yeah, our guys were gone, and they were just like, I guess we just show up with what we got and beat one of the best teams. It's like, where is that? Where did that come from?
It's crazy.
But there's possibilities. Out. Like, Hero is caught absolutely on fire right now. He's playing really well again. Jadong seems to be improving on a pretty constant basis. And Revival's winning games, too. I mean, they're just a deeper roster right now, which is kind of cool. So we'll see.
JYP versus Fantasy was an epic game on Core Hall.
Oh, yeah,
Island.
That's right.
I'm so sad that I haven't been able to catch almost any Pro League at all. Because I wake up when it's about to wrap up.
Yeah. Get the subscription.
Because I really enjoy watching EGTL play.
When is it on for you?
Just a bad teammate.
What time is it on for you?
It depends on if it's the first or the second match.
So which one?
I guess the second match ends at like 10 or 11 something, I think.
So you'd have to wake up at like 9 a.m.?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Hey, hey, hey. It's because of you guys. It's because of you guys. I don't know. It's because
our show's on Tuesday.
Yeah, but I'm like, my
website
is like really bad. If I want
to
wake up
all weekend, Tuesday, I do the same thing.
No. I mean, like, if I want to wake up, if I want to stay up until 3 on Tuesday, I can't like go to bed at midnight every other day and then stay up to 3. I have to like stay up to 3 every single day to be able to make it.
I know what you mean. Well, yeah, why couldn't you just take a shot of like Monster like on Tuesdays?
Because I don't have Monster here.
Oh, we have it in Europe.
I want free Monster.
I get 4 hours of sleep every night. I go to sleep at about 4 or 5, and I wake up at 8 or 9 and do a lesson every day.
Why? Why would you
so late?
Just do that?
Because my body functions just fine off of 4 hours of sleep or 5.
I'm jealous.
I get to play.
Of course, when he's 60, he'll have to sleep 21 hours a day. But, you know, right now, it's like you might as well. You're not doing much other than taking naps anyway.
I wouldn't believe what I did it for a job.
What? Funny. What'd you say?
That is going to be weird to explain to people when you're an old man.
What?
Well, like, my grandfather has been a nuclear physicist. That makes sense. I'll be like, well, I used to be a professional StarCraft player, and then for the next 20 years, I started my own deodorant company called Nerd Stink Like Shit. It took off, and I made my millions. Ended up Super Bowl in the year of, I believe it was 2028.
Oh, shit, Nerd Stink Like Shit.
Are you serious? It's not even a good joke. We just died.
Nerds Stink Like Shit is just—it was the icing on the cake. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, we ready to take some phone calls?
Let's do it.
You can telephone us at the number on the screen, or send me a Skype. If you don't know what the Skype is, you're an idiot. Let's take our first call.
Carry
we got area code 253. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey guys, I was just curious what you guys think if teams would hire like a personal map maker, and this would be for like you kind of know like the Marine split and how that can help you out. What if you did that for like all types of engagements, and you just would be able to repeat them a lot of times? So like you know how like fungal growth, you could it would help you with like your skill shot, say. And you could, if you mess up, you just repeat it again and try it again. And so, what would you guys think about that?
Basically, like drills, right? We are all out on the soccer field. It's like, okay, we're going to do the three-man weave drill. Everyone ready? Tweet! And then everyone does it, right? But actually, I think I asked this to the hosts at one point. That makes total sense to me that you would do that. You know, that you would, like, practice things that, you know, you're not doing under pressure. So, you guys, what do you think about what the caller asks? Just to the concept of using sort of drills, I guess, and creating these in house.
I personally don't think I would find it that useful because I feel like the biggest part of your game is the strategy in terms of like decision making, like when you're gonna make stuff, and the execution kind of just comes with playing a lot more games. And at least I think for Terrans, like the Marine Split Challenge definitely helps them, but I can't see like Fungal being incredibly, you know, tough for me to have to like practice it specifically. Although there is like yesterday I was playing on stream and they were teaching me some like Ultralisk Viper Infestor composition against Protoss, and so you have like multiple spellcasters, so that might be a little bit useful, but I think a lot of the practice you can get just from playing the games. It's but like by themselves.
Yeah, I think the same thing. Just playing will more often than not be better than actually trying to work on these small.
Glad you guys are here. Greg was the one that used to support this idea. Greg and DJ Wheat.
Yeah, and those maps already exist. Like I think. Like, there's so many of these kind of maps, so I don't think a team needs their own map maker, which was the original question.
It's not a bad idea. Like, I think the word you use there that's always going to make this a no is you said hire. And you need to understand, most esports teams don't make enough money to pay their players what they would like to pay their players, to be honest with you. And then, like, a team that's very fortunate, like EG, is going to reinvest the money they have to reinvest in more exciting places other than like a map maker for their squad. Like, that's just, they're not gonna put money towards that. So if there's somebody out there that's like, I will make maps for your organization for free, then maybe some teams would take that on. But even then, like these guys said, why do that when you can just, maybe that person's not the best. I would rather just go look up a UMS that someone else made that's better and use that. I mean, what's stopping me from doing that, you know?
Awesome.
All right. Thank you for your call, man.
Thank you, dude.
Bye.
Yep, bye.
Not to say that customs are, like, unexciting or anything.
No, in theory, it makes a lot of sense. But then when you think about it, the people who are already playing at the top level probably also have access to the best players in the world. And mm-hmm. and can you get better practice than that? You know, I mean, like, I think go ahead, Thor.
Just if you have, like, a really big flaw in your play, like, if you can't split a single marine, you have, like, yeah, if you just suck really hard at something, then you could do that. Like, if it's just impossible to hit fungal, to hit mutas with fungal, you try a billion times, then maybe. But, like, if you're just, like, an average player, you won't really use it. You won't really need
to use
it.
Well, like, the thing is, I feel like these maps already exist in terms of, like, there's that unit tester map or whatever, and you just, like, set up army one and then army two, and then you could just keep mashing them into each other and just, like, practicing the micro. So I feel like it's already been fulfilled, maybe.
Yeah. All right, let's take another call here. We're gonna take this one right here. We got Steven on the line. Hello, Steven. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I know you're probably gonna do a postmortem after the season finals this weekend, but I was thinking, you know, between season one and season two, are there any changes that you guys think that Blizzard can make as far as the tournament structure coming up? Or do you think this season structure as it is now is a good model and they don't really have to make anything, make any changes going to the next season?
Good question.
I think unfortunately the cold hard facts of it is that I don't know that there's time for them to change anything. Like, I think because, you know, it's got the three seasons that stack up to like a larger final, like the global yearly finals. And I think only after then is when they could actually start to make some serious region and format changes. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, they haven't released dates yet for the next season, but just know, everything I've heard is that, like, the downtime is going to be, like, a week or two. Like, nothing. Nothing at all. So there can't be major implementations. Like, I've already liked that they're syncing up the latter season with the WCS season so that there's a little bit more meaning there. I like that in order to play for the qualifiers in your region, you have to be at least Masters level, which isn't like, a full-blooded perfect answer, but it's definitely, again, a step in the right direction. So they're doing what they can to do little changes. I would say on a partner level, there needs to be some look, like the ESL show, I'm good with it. I think everyone's like, great. If you can improve on that, then you're putting icing on the cake. That's amazing. Korea's obviously going to be Korea. It's good, but we're all going to have our complaints, but they don't listen. And then NA, everyone's kind of like, you guys did not do a good job. You need to do better. And I hope that between season one and two, they can figure things out to do a better job. Because if they can, then we're talking about the WCS that everyone, we're getting closer to the WCS that everyone envisioned.
Okay. So just try and maybe put a better benchmark on the production that they contract to.
I would say so.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey, have a good one, Steven. Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Mr. Steven. Telephone number is right there, or you could Skype us. We got another one incoming. Here we got area code 603. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I was wondering, what do you think about the possibility of adding flying siege tanks to the game?
You know what I was thinking to myself that whole time? I was like, most of the time, and first of all, I appreciate this one, because most of the time we make fun of how the guys that prank, like, they go, I was just letting them, like, launch into it because they're nervous. He actually opened up with, thanks for taking my call, which is not a typical troll opening.
It's not. It's not. The real question, though, is, what do you think about flying
tanks? The problem
siege
is the positioning, because tanks are positional units, so, like, if you're flying around...
Like, oh, shit, logic! We ain't got time for logic here, Sammy.
You know what? give them flying tanks if they have like an exaggerated version of Oracle flying, because then I think they would die more than anything else. Like, he'd be like, here come my flying tanks, and they'd stop but then slide 10 feet forward anyways and just get destroyed by whatever they wanted to kill. It'd be awesome.
I think the problem with flying tanks is when they siege up, they root into the ground to not fly away when they shoot. So if they fly and they fire their weapon, they just fly halfway across the map.
Oh, the, they, really they could, like, I could drop an anchor. They could drop,
I don't
like,
know.
An anchor. Like,
they could
ships.
Drop an anchor.
I don't know what
then
game.
They would still have to, like, they still have to move back.
Yeah, it would shoot them back, but then they'd, like, bounce around and, like, float. Like,
they'd probably, like, just fall to the ground. The anchor would pull them to the ground, and it would just get destroyed after one shot.
They're, yeah, they're one shot.
Like a, yeah, it's like a widow mine, but it explodes.
Yeah. Siege tanks fly, albeit for a very short amount of time, whenever a Viper grabs them.
There you go.
So technically the game already has flying
already
siege
has
tanks.
Well done.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, God, that guy was there the whole time.
I'm glad that we solved that mystery. Yeah. Now,
Wait.
Do
what's
units
up with the area
fire course? When they're being abducted?
Or no, does I don't think they can fire.
Oh, man, that'd just be fucking awesome.
Marcus, what's up with the area codes?
What do you mean?
Like, what does, like, call from...
Oh, we got a European, like...
Do Americans know every single area code in USA?
Yeah,
no.
Of course.
Like, do you know when he says area code 457, do you know,
yeah,
like, oh, that's from Oregon?
That's from Seattle,
no, but some
yeah.
people do, like, that's kind of fun for the people that are listening. They're like, oh, that's my
no, every... Shut up, Jeff. Every American knows every single area code.
That's true. There is
okay.
that.
Yeah.
Okay, Americans are that smart.
Area code 480. What's that in control?
That is Sacramento, obviously.
That's right. See? Look at that. Sacramento, what's up? Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, I was looking at the help desk watching. I was wanting to ask a question.
Yeah, sure. Welcome to the program. What's your question?
I'm sorry. I was looking at the video at the same time, so I was getting a delay. I was looking at a two-part question, really. One, whatever happened to MMA? Because he was a pretty good favorite of mine, and I've never really seen him ever since. And then, two, what do you think your chances of, or the chances of MMA, or I'm sorry, MVP winning in Korea?
MMA is on Team Acer, which is partnered with Axiom for the GSTL, but that ended. But he's definitely, I think, I want to say he moved back to Germany to play in the WCS, and then he unfortunately did not qualify alongside, like, MC, which is a bit of a surprise because, you know, you're not alone in him being your favorite. He's got a lot of fans.
Yeah.
He won his Challenger match, though, or something.
Oh, did he?
So he should be back in Premier League, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then MVP's chances of winning this tournament? Everyone would look at him and be like, all right, can't possibly be that good, but it is MVP in a world-class tournament, which means that he's guaranteed top three somehow. Top two.
All right, awesome.
I misspoke.
It actually
I really appreciate
happen.
It.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Big fan of In Control, by the way. Shout out to you. You're awesome.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. Good. Have a great day. Peace out. Bye. All right, so I just realized this new version of Skype puts the phone number up in the corner when, like, you're connected. So, sorry about that, dude.
Anti-troll mechanism.
I gotta figure out how to turn it off, I think.
You can put your mouse over it and hit it. There should be an X.
Yeah, but I want to do that every single time, Suppy.
Oh,
yeah. Yo, Suppy, come on.
Yeah, that's, sorry. Like, too much work and shit. Area code 520. Hello, area code 520. Welcome to Inside the Game. They hung up. They were like, no, he called right back.
Deal breaker.
Area code 520, hello, take two, welcome to Inside the Game, what's up?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
New Central.
Hello?
Yeah. What's your question?
Are you there?
We are.
Oh, hey. I was wondering about, I play Terran, and I am Silver League, and sometimes they...
Come on, man,
oh my
left.
God,
you couldn't even get out six fucking words?
Sorry.
Like, God. All
right, let it try again. Guys, get serious. Maybe this is a real...
Oh, and he hung up.
Color.
Oh, no,
come on.
He hung up. God,
poor guy.
Come on.
He was so scared.
Come the fuck on.
I think he was doing a voice too, is what it was, is why he broke, like he laughed, I think.
Oh, and it was just so fucking hilarious too, Jeff. God, if I was doing that voice, I would have just busted up laughing because I would be fucking thinking, I'm so funny.
Dude, that would.
You saw if he wasn't doing a voice. He's like crying in his room right now.
We got our next caller. Hello, area code 347. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going, man.
It's going. Yeah, with all the shitty trolls. I was wondering if you think StarCraft and NA and EU would ever reach the level of that it's at right now in Korea.
Maybe not StarCraft 2 even, but like I think RTS in the future, definitely. The gap is closing between like how, the way it was in Brood War to the way it was in Warcraft 3 and to the way it was in StarCraft 2. I think it's getting better and better. That's StarCraft 2, I don't know if it will actually be there in time.
It's possible, though. Like, if you think about it, like, Wings of Liberty was 2 or 3 years, you know. Heart of the Swarm should be close to 2 years at least, and then we've got Legacy of the Void afterwards. So it is possible. We just need those kind of big breaks and for people to find out that people will actually watch. We'll see.
I'd agree that it would take longer as well. But certainly we've already seen an increase. I mean, even if you look at the earlier RTS games and sort of the success in there, I think it's certainly gotten much better over a shorter period of time than it did before. So, by the way, I just saw your bottling for Nerd Stink Like Shit, Jeff.
Isn't that nice?
It's really good. It's really good. It's nice.
I would buy that.
I would too.
New Old Spice?
Yeah?
Yep, the new.
I'd come up with good commercials for it, I think. I think that's where it would sell.
I think you would too.
Sponsor for MLG?
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe. All right, thank you very much for your call, man.
Yeah, thanks, Sue.
Take care. All right.
Nice.
All right. We've got Mean Marine. Mean Marine, all welcome right. to
Hello.
Inside the Game. Hello. How are you?
Oh, this is awesome. Good evening, everybody, and good afternoon, Torsten.
Hey.
You can hear me, right?
Yeah.
All right, great. So I had a follow-up question on that guy earlier who called in regarding drilling.
The answer is wings. The siege tanks would just have wings.
Mm.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
That was a good one too, though. So basically, I know that, as you mentioned, you do it like in football, everybody line up and such, and it may seem like that the purpose is that it's easy for the coach to train in such a way. But I think that it does apply to StarCraft 2, because as Subby mentioned, you can do drills over and over where you do specific examples of units versus other units. And I think it ties into sometimes, and I even heard Stefano say this, that I did not go, I did not go for that strategy because he's not comfortable with it. And whenever a player chooses a weaker strategy in a situation where a different strategy would have been stronger because he's not comfortable with it, that's a situation where he could have drilled for that strategy specifically in that situation and been able to have more skills in that game.
I think a strategy as a whole is more than just like, he means the whole game from start to finish, the build order, the type of units, the timings, not just like the engagement or the, like I guess engagements would be what you would be practicing in the drills. And like when I don't feel, if I have a build that I'm not, like a strategy that I'm not familiar with and I want to get familiar with it, I just play it against no opponent, just with myself until I got the build order correct. And I think that's probably what he means, the build, like the timings of everything, not the actual engagements, because I think he already knows how to fight with every single unit.
Yeah, I mean, a good example I would use is in Brood War, you had Zergs having to use the Defiler, which was a really, really strong unit. But for a lot of like lower skilled players, they wouldn't want to use it because it was such a difficult unit. But eventually, once you start getting higher, you kind of have to start using it. So people would start using it, and it's really difficult to use, but the more you use it, the better you get at it. And I think it just comes with just repetition over and over. But now that I think about it a little bit more, I feel like there could be some use for like these drills, like drill maps for me, because I think one of my weak points is my engagements, especially versus Protoss. And you can see other people have strengths with engagements, like Stefano, definitely like one of his strong points is his engagements are always some of the best. But yeah, I think in terms of just learning a style and knowing how to use the units and stuff, it's just playing it over and over.
I mean, certainly there's probably individuals where it could be a lot more effective than others, but I mean, you guys are probably the best opinion to give on that. So hopefully that gives you a little bit more insight, New Marine.
Yeah. There was this one.
Yes.
What?
There was this one map. I don't remember the name, but it was really, really well made. And it had like for every race, there was like 10, 11 different stages where you could basically practice everything from like marine splits to like full on engagements, like realistic engagements, like
it's one of the micro trainers, and, I think.
Yeah, the micro trainer. I think wasn't it QXC who made that?
No, I think it was called. Oh, I remember now. Darglines. Darglines.
Yeah.
Darglines micro or something. And I think that one was really well made, and I would like to see more of those, like a Hardest One version. Because that was actually one of the drilling maps that I can see being good for pro gamers practicing many different
and
kinds
if
of
you
things.
Take a, if you take a concept like that and improve on it in-house, inside a team, by the pros, to the pros, rather than as a community feature, there, I think there's a lot more to get from that.
Yeah, I would like to see a really well-made drilling map, just to see how useful it will be.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you for your call, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for taking it. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
All right. Let's take Joel. We got Joel online. Hello, Joel. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah, what's up?
Yo.
I just have a question about fundamentals and oh my gosh, it's weird hearing myself. Wait, hold on. I'm a Masters player right now, and I keep my pinky on the left side of the keyboard just to so I know where everything is. But when I'm looking at pro players play, I see that their hands are just like on top of the keys, and they don't use that pinky for like a marker of where they want to. Where they have, when I play like with my friends' keyboards, and it's different from my keyboard, and let's say they have like these weird preset hotkey buttons on the left side of the keyboard, I play like a silver player as compared to like Masters on my keyboard. I was wondering what if I wanted to make it a Grandmasters or something, what I need to like get used to not having that pinky there as a marker.
With what finger do you press shift and control?
Oh, God.
What finger?
Ring finger.
Ring finger? I hold my pinky at my shift and control at the same time.
My pinky is
slice
useless.
Over.
You can cut it off.
The ring finger? Really? It makes it hard to like make shift. Like ring
use
finger
your, you can use your
seven.
Thumb. Use your thumb. Thumb?
Let's see.
Thumb?
Whoa.
Oh, whoa. Yeah, I use shift, whoa. Or I use my ring finger, man. Boom.
Whoa.
Boom.
Did the video just die?
Everyone's...
I just keep my pinky over the shift and control.
Oh, did I do something?
I don't know. Like, video just turned off.
Oh, then I...
Turn
I
it back on. Turn it back on.
It says you need premium.
What the hell, man?
Wait, you're killing esports.
Dude, what? No, Skype is killing esports, man.
My bad.
The exact same thing happened before. No, don't worry. Keep going.
Oh, hey. There I am. Do you see me?
Are you
back?
Wait,
no, I died again.
No. to answer your question, though, like, it's kind of whatever works for you, man. Like, if you can use your pinky, do it.
That's
the more finger you can use, I would say.
It's the rare triple noodle.
But I don't really use my pinky in the game. I use it just as a marker, and I use the other through like my
so other my fingers. Question to you is like, can you type without like looking at the keyboard? Like, can you write
I
stuff
can.
Without?
Yes,
you can.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like, I mean, once you like start playing enough and like, the keyboard like becomes like one with your body almost. Like, you know where all the keys are, I feel like, and I don't know. I mean, if you need to use a marker, I don't personally use one, but if you need to use one, I don't think it's going to hold you back from getting like grandmasters or anything. It's like just your own personal preference. Like, everybody has their own personal way they like to hold their keyboard. Like, some people like to play with their keyboard on their lap or whatever.
You mark with your pinky, Artosis shoots his to the sky the whole time he's playing. It's disgusting.
And one more question I have is that, do you think you need to be at a certain level at the other races before you could make grandmasters? Because right now, like, what I need to, like, make diamond in, understand Diamond Zerg, understand Diamond Terran, in terms of their gameplay, like, play it as a in diamond level or masters level in order to make grandmasters, because I play Protoss. Would I need to do that?
No.
No. I think my it works the other way around. Playing, like, if you get to grandmaster, you will be good with the other races. I don't think you necessarily need to be good with the other races to improve. Like, you don't need to play Protoss to improve as a Terran player. But you will learn how the other races work by playing Terran, for example.
I think it helps.
I know most of the pro gamers, at least a lot of them, are pretty good off-racing, even though they didn't play a lot of off-race games, just because of their mechanics, and they know how every matchup works because they've played it and seen it so many times.
So you don't recommend, well, not you don't recommend, but you don't have to play the other races at a certain level in order to make GM or something.
No.
I'm still level 30 on StarCraft. Like, I haven't even played a single off-race game. I don't think you need to. It's fun, and it can help. I know there's some players who really know the other races really well, and it helps their matchups, but yeah, I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes I'd be, like, really bored with Terran, and then instead of not playing StarCraft, I would recommend, like, playing an off-race if you think that's fun. But just playing it because you want to improve as your main race, playing your off-races, doesn't...
Right.
I don't think it works.
I agree.
Okay, all right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Joel. Appreciate it. Take care. All right. Let's take this. Area code 786. Hello. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's your question?
Yeah, I'm a Silver League player. No, I'm just messing with you. I'm just kidding. I'm not trolling.
What's
up? I just
thought
that again. It's pretty funny.
Well done.
Thank you. I have a few things to say because I've been trying to get on for a few weeks and I never get on. So
all right.
Kind of both those things. First one, I'd just like to ask Selfie real quick how he feels about, because I was going through his YouTube channel and he has like a bunch of videos where he commentates games with like In Control, and it's actually like really hilarious. He's like 13 years old or 12 years old. And I just want to hear like what he has to say about that. I don't know if he's already spoken about it, but I haven't heard him.
What do you have to say for yourself, Steffi?
What do you have to say, Steffi?
I apologize.
Like watching both
I'm going. I'm
ears.
Going to it. No.
I apologize for making everyone's ears bleed. No, but commentating was actually one of my favorite things about StarCraft, and I'm a little bit sad that I haven't done it in a long time. And I'm hoping, like, maybe every once in a while I will have the opportunity to cast. Like, I don't know how good I'd be now. It probably wouldn't be, like...
Probably not that great.
Yeah, probably not that great, but... Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be fun. So, I would like to
just
want to
have fun.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd like to do it if there's any opportunities
again. I think it was actually hilarious watching those videos. Just being on the team with In Control now and on EG and all that, I think that's pretty awesome that you have those memories to look back on and all that. So, pretty cool.
It's proof that stream cheating, prepubescent 13-year-old boys can one day become a successful StarCraft player on a real team.
You were a stream cheater?
No.
You used to stream cheat?
No.
No, it was a fun event. It was a fun event, and his friends were stream cheating while I was off racing.
Oh,
boom.
Oh, the truth comes out.
And then Suppy made a commentary of it as he
The best commentary ever.
As he killed me.
Do you have did you have one other thing, caller?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably not the right place to ask the question, but I'm from down here in South Florida, and there's a pretty good amount. Like, there's a pretty big land in Tampa. There's another one coming up here in Miami in August. And I feel like there's a good amount of esports, like, going on down here, but it seems like MLG kind of abandoned Florida. I don't think there's going to be an MLG Orlando coming up. So I don't know. Just basically want to ask you guys if you know anything for the future that might be coming down here. Or is just like esports just abandoned Florida in general?
We know of nothing, sir.
What do you think MLG abandoned Florida?
Well, they've always had an MLG Orlando every single year, and I've always gone to it, and that's where I had met like all the players from EG and Liquid, and you know, the Koreans that showed up and all that. And
but, did they announce they're not going to be one this time?
No, they like canceled it or something. It's not on the schedule. Hmm.
Oh, so the schedule is out for the rest of the events.
What was that?
Is the schedule out for the other stops?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, the one thing I can speak to on this is that in some cases, in fact, I think it was either Adam Epsell or Sundance made a comment about why aren't you coming back to Raleigh, and they said, you know, we had a contract with Raleigh, things were, you know, decent, but we just saw that it was not a place where we got the most spectators or the most viewers, or, you know, it was the easiest for our players to actually fly to. So I think in some cases there were probably still some contracts that sort of played themselves out in the 2009-2010 years. And then maybe, you know, there were a lot of logistically things that made it much more difficult to have an event there than, say, somewhere like Dallas.
Yeah.
Speculation.
That event in Orlando was awesome, though. It's the one that Huck won, so I'm sure a lot of you guys probably remember that one. It was pretty packed, remember correctly, but
that
I get what you mean.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, we'll take a couple more here. See if Goatless is going to join us. Let's take. We got Forrest on the line. Hello, Forrest.
Hello,
welcome to Inside the Gate.
Hey, how you doing? I just want to warn you, this is going to be a bit of a troll question. But you guys know that conspiracy theories are usually kind of silly, and most of them are ridiculous. But I think they're kind of fun because they're sort of an exercise in imagination. So my question for you guys is, do you think that there's any possible way that maybe the Korea event could have possibly been staged? And the reason I ask is because if you're an event planner, you couldn't have staged it any better way. Because the first three games, it kind of sucked. You were like, this is going to be a blowout. Then by game five, you're like, oh, is he really going to bring this back? And by game six, you're like, maybe he can really do this, right? So my question is not if you really think it was staged, because I don't think it was staged either, but just if you had to, like, put a stamp on it like they do with Mythbusters, whether it was plausible or completely ridiculous, what would you guys say about it?
Fair enough.
And that's pretty much my question, and I'll take your answer off air, and I love the show, and take it easy.
Thanks a lot, Forrest. Appreciate it.
It's a fair question.
All right, that guy also knows how to do a call. Like, here's my question, yo, I'll listen to it off air. Peace. I'm out of here.
Yeah, that was good.
And it's a different
it's a fair
question
because actually in Brood War they did have game rigging.
Yeah.
So Brood War was what kind of tournaments? Korean, Western?
The highest.
Any?
It wasn't the tournaments necessarily. It was the players in the tournaments. So a big player, one of my favorites of all time, Savior, actually did time, or I'm not going to get into the details of it, but he was in trouble for having accepted bribes to then throw matches against other people. And then he also contacted other players and included them in these gambles where if they lost this match, they got a bigger prize pool than had they won it. So they would do those kind of things. So that's the part where that guy's question.
Stop it, you're dead.
It's not so completely off the charts impossible
right.
that we don't deserve to talk about it. And then if you wanted to play devil's advocate and give the guy even more flavor, things like what Innovation did, where he just murders him three games and is like, whoa. And then he, you know, gets cheesed and loses to the cheeses. And then that last game, it's like an even game, pretty equal. And he does something that maybe he doesn't do otherwise.
Yeah, that was a
weird.
That
being said, I don't know that anyone legitimately thinks he was thrown, but it's Unfortunately, Korea deserves to have that speculation every once in a while.
So, speculation. Can it be done? Right? Like, obviously we know, like, there, you could probably make some mistakes, but I think that ultimately the question was is, hypothetically, could you sort of rig a match to go 7 games? You're doing this, that. Could you do it?
Mm-hmm. I think in Korea, with Kespa, maybe, because they have more, they have a lot of control over their players. In foreign events or GSL, I seriously doubt it.
I don't know why you would distinguish foreign events. If I was some like gambling tycoon and I had all these bets going on
because, well,
about a foreigner event like DreamHack and Nano was in the finals, and I go to Nano and I say, hey, I'll give you $40,000 to lose this. I think he does.
Yeah, and I even know, I mean, I know
that's actually, by the way, not fair to call Nanny out. Like, not Nanny a person, I'm just saying, fuck, that was almost like a really bad thing. I just mean a foreigner, I just use Nanny's name in general, but like, if I'm guaranteed a bigger prize pool to lose a series, why would a player not do it?
Yeah. And like, I know a lot of, like, there's a lot of people who are betting on Solki Innovation just like for fun bets or whatever. Like, I know Katz and Ghost User did like some like $300 bet or whatever, and like, you know, there must be a lot of people in Korea doing bets as well. So there, yeah, I mean, there's probably some kind of scene there maybe that could have done it. So I would definitely say it's plausible. And even like during the thing, I was like, oh, Innovation was crushing the first 3 games. And I was like, you know what? Solki's going to win the next 3, but then he's going to lose the final because that's how like every single GSL has gone so far. And I was like, it's going to happen. And then it actually did start happening. It's definitely plausible, but I don't think we shouldn't like just like be like, oh, it happened, like conspiracy theory, like something like that. Because the match fixing scandal was really bad for esports and StarCraft.
Devastating.
Yeah, it was really bad. So.
All right. Ready for one more call, and then we'll bring Goatlust on.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to bring on Duck Reaper. Hello, Duck Reaper. Welcome to Inside the Game. Duck Reaper, how are you going to have a cool-ass name like that and hang up like a jobber? All right.
Quack.
Son of a bitch. All right.
Now we just have to get an area code 650.
What? What about area code 650? All right, we're going to take area code 541. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Hey, I have a very simple, very short question.
Sure.
And just like the previous caller, I'll take it off the air for the answer. The Warp Prism buff, is that necessary for high-level Protoss, or what's the thought process on that? Thank you. You guys are awesome. I love you all.
Thanks.
Thank you, dude.
We did talk about this last week, but if you guys, I don't know if you've had a chance to maybe play it on the test map at all. Have you screwed around?
Nope.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
Yeah. is it needed then? That's the question.
I don't know. Like, I look at the World Finals, and I see that there's... what is it? It's like 3 Protoss, right?
Yeah, it's not a lot.
Not a lot. They didn't do very well. Hero won his region, so that was nice. Sometimes it feels a lot worse than it is, and then at other times you're like, it's okay. I guess just to echo last week's sentiments, if they were to give Protoss a buff, I would like it to be something more subtle, like the Warp Prism or something like that, as opposed to Stalker blink cooldown, you know, 5 seconds off on that or some shit like that, like something crazy. Because if they are in need of help, it's not by a lot.
I think it's just going to encourage Protoss to use it more, and hopefully we'll encourage them. I think more Protoss will try macro games instead of just relying, because I think right now Protoss's strength is like cheeses and stuff, which people, I think Blizzard's trying to encourage more macro play. So I'm not sure if it's necessary, but it's going to like encourage them to play differently. So.
All right. Well, at this time, usually when I say, and then we'll take Goatlust calls. Goatlust is already calling, but he's not right now. So I don't know what that means. We also lost Thorzane and Jeff at the same time.
No, he's right there. Oh no! Am I gonna die too?
No, don't. I don't want to have to triple noodle again. Oh my god. We did. We lost Suppy. Oh, we lost everyone. That's too bad. That is too bad. Well, you know what? That just means we're going to have to wrap up the show. Calls are done. Triple noodle in full effect. All right, well, that's going to be it. Skype just completely shat the bed, so that's going to be the end of the show. We do have live on 3 again tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and there will not be shows next week. So next week, the week of E3, I'll be on location at E3 broadcasting on the official Twitch channel. So I hope that you will definitely come and check it out. Sorry that we couldn't close out the show in a proper way, but Skype looks like it has officially died. So thanks for joining us here for another episode of Inside the Game. We'll be able to catch these guys again after DreamHack. We'll do a full rundown because every single one of them should be present. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on another episode of Inside the Game. Peace!